And it's one of those things, like, you see that for outside looking, it's like, well, you put a lot of thought into that. I was like, not even close. Like, that was just, he sent me a frog emoji and I just started messaging him.
This is Wasted Information. Wasted Information.
Well, this is Wasted Information. I'm Jimmy.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Dr. Chloe.
That's my wife.
Yes. That's what we should have said in the beginning, but we spent 4 minutes.
Well, the happy hour. Okay, yeah. So those who didn't listen to the happy hour, it took us a while to explain who Chloe was. But
that's also because we didn't explain to Chloe, because Chloe doesn't listen to the show. She doesn't know the cadence.
She does not. Not a fan. We're pulling her into this blind.
Yes.
Hey, Brandon, what are you drinking?
All right, so I'm drinking from Lexington Brewing Company Mammoth, which is a Belgian-style white ale with orange peel and coriander.
A what? So
it's very similar.
A Belgian-style what?
White ale.
You said white.
Yes, white.
It's white.
White.
No.
With orange peel and coriander.
Did you say with too? Just, H's don't just start all the words. With coriander. You're just making up H's now.
So, yeah, it's an unfiltered white ale. It should, I'm not going to say what it should taste like, but I thought it would taste more like a Blue Moon, because Blue Moon is a white ale with orange peel and coriander. But it's not as orangey as a Blue Moon. It's like not as creamy as a Blue Moon almost.
Blue Moon creamy?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, I bet if I poured this and a Blue Moon next to each other, this would be a lighter, clearer beer, even though it's unfiltered.
I'm more of a Hoo Garden fan myself.
I do not appreciate Hoo Garden as much as other people do. I also do enjoy the fact that I know it's Hoo Garden, though, and Jimmy, you and I learned it at the same time at Purdue. I remember we were drinking it.
Yes.
And everyone always pronounced it Hoo Garden. I don't remember what it was. We were somewhere.
But we've also talked about this on a podcast.
Not on a recent one.
Yeah, on a recent one. I'm pretty sure it was the episode we uploaded in place of the real deal. Because I just listened to us talk about Hoo Garden like this.
But we learned that it was Hoo Garden together.
Yeah.
Anyway, what are you drinking, Jimmy?
Same thing I was drinking last week on the recording that didn't happen. But I still had two cans left. Back to Indiana City Brewing Company. Let me say that sentence again. Back to Indiana City Brewing Company. Their sour series is Bramble Fruit Fruited Berliner Weiss. There's no real description on the can, so I looked it up, and all it says is Bramble Fruit is 5.2% ABV, Fruited Berliner Weiss brewed with blackberry and blackcurrant. Nothing fancy, but the only thing fancy is the last time I had Indiana City Brewing Company, they put the label designer on can too.
They have good art.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, at Ron Luhorn again for them.
I did forget to say mine's 5.3%.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. Hey, Chloe, what are you drinking?
I was going to say, Brandon, you want to do a countdown to say it at the same time?
We can.
All right, Chloe, you have to count it down.
Oh, okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
We didn't practice what we were going to say.
We didn't say what we were going to say.
Just say, hey, Chloe, what are you drinking? But then
that's what I was going to say.
On one.
On one?
3, 2, 1.
And we'll go. Wait, Jimmy, why don't we just both say it and then you can overlay them together?
I could, but it's funnier this way. Hey, Chloe, what are you drinking? I've already said it 6 times on this.
Me too.
Just pick one. And put them together.
I'll overlay all of them. just a chorus of, hey, Chloe, what are you yelling at?
Hey, Chloe, what are you drinking?
Just do it in different levels.
Hey, Chloe,
what are you drinking? You gotta say it eventually so we can get back.
You're gonna have to tell me when you're actually asking me.
We've
or
been
when
actually
you're just
asking.
Saying.
This is what she gets for joining us. Hey, Chloe, what are you drinking?
I am currently drinking a Kentucky Maple Barrel Stout from, I think it's also from the Lexington Brewing Co.
It is also, yeah, I messed up. I was going to get two different local breweries, and then that one looked really, really good.
So it I got is that very one. Good. It's,
tell us about it.
It says it's an imperial stout aged for 18 months in maple syrup bourbon barrels. And I have not yet discovered what maple syrup bourbon is, if that's bourbon and then they put maple syrup in the barrels, or if it's bourbon with maple syrup, or if it was maple syrup in the barrels and then they put the, I don't know. I'm unclear. Those are two different things. But it's very good. It's very rich. It's also 12%. So there's that.
She's got us both beat. At the end of the happy hour, we were talking about, we got into talking about education stuff. We kind of mixed it in throughout the happy hour, actually. There was a
we
few
did.
Well, we mixed it in organically and then shoehorned the last part in.
But we've talked about it before, generally just you and I, how shitty our public school education was growing up. Like why we don't know how many teaspoons are in a cup and quarts are in a gallon. And it just doesn't happen. You don't learn those things in South Bend public schools. But Chloe, Miss Fancy Pants over here, went to private school and she knows all those things.
I mean, I didn't learn them in school, but, you know.
They probably taught her what chili con carne meant.
No. She went to Catholic school. They did not speak Spanish there.
Well, we did.
Every Catholic has a Spanish mass.
True. No. She went to Catholic school on not the west side of South Bend. She went to Catholic school on the north side of South Bend, which is all just old Polacks.
Portage.
So did they have a Polish mass?
They probably did there.
Oh my God. Yeah. The body of Christ, when the wafer, do they call it chesteczka? Do they use the word cookie for it? The Jesus cookie?
She didn't go to the Polish one though.
Oh, no.
We weren't that Polish.
Kurwa mać.
We were west side. It was on Portage.
Anyway, north side though. It was north side. Anyway.
Yeah. You say Portage, there's different.
Yeah,
side
exactly.
Portage.
All right, on to the me, nice Portage. I was on the far east side of South Bend, so for me, Portage is very west.
Northeast.
Whatever.
Anyway, so Chloe got an actual education. But we all went to the same high school, and somehow she turned out better than
she
we
had
did.
A head start.
It's true.
She learned stuff when you're supposed to learn things. We started learning shit in high school when you should have already had like a base knowledge at that point.
So Chloe, why is that? Hard hitting questions. Why didn't we learn the same as you?
Because public schools are highly underfunded.
Okay, legitimate question though.
Okay.
If we gave them more money, what would that do?
Well, first of all, teachers wouldn't have to use their own salaries to buy the school supplies to like do their job.
Buddy. We talked about teachers having second jobs in a previous episode.
Oh, yeah. That's also bullshit. Like, I am going to spend this summer totally redesigning how we grade one of our courses. And like, okay, normally there'd be extra pay for that, but pandemic and whatever. But like, teachers wouldn't even have the option to do, like, K-12 teachers wouldn't even have the option to spend the time in the summer doing that. Because they have to work a second job just to, like, have a living.
Yeah, and it's like you think of, especially like kindergarten teachers, for like the classrooms that all look fancy, like have all like the posters and decorations.
Oh, yeah.
That's all out the teacher's pocket.
That's
not just as you get older, oh, you don't get decorations anymore. It's like you get older and teacher's like, I'm not putting shit up on the walls, these assholes.
Yep.
At least at our school.
Oh, yeah. No, I have a friend who, I think she's a third grade teacher. And she posts all the time. And I'm assuming a lot of it still comes out of her own pocket, but she posts about all of the crafty things they're doing. And like, she's the one who like will decorate the front door and like decorate their cork board and do all this, like all out, just full theme days. Like she'll dress in costume and go in. And like, I was like, damn, that is way more than any of my teachers ever did. And good for you. But damn, that's going to cost a lot of money.
Oh.
And I know your school, like she's in Northern Indiana. I was like, I know your school doesn't have a whole lot of money. But okay, so if we give schools more money, if we fund them more, how are the kids benefiting from this?
Well, okay, so first of all, you get actual school supplies. But then also like if teachers are super stressed out and they're doing multiple jobs, then they can't spend time like, teaching is more than just, like, I teach math and I teach grown-ass adults. They are, for the most part, 18 by the time they reach me. And there's still so much, like, hand-holding of, like, yes, you should be checking your emails. Yes, I am expecting you to attend class in order to learn the material. If you can't make it to the exam, you have to tell me ahead of time. Like, basic, like, hand-holding things. And they're 18. If they were, like, 15 or, heaven forbid, like, 7, the amount of work that just goes into the basic hand-holding shit. And if you're, like, also working a second job, you do not have the energy to get them through it.
I wonder how much this going through schooling during the pandemic and just generally children being more exposed to technology nowadays, like, are they going to be better? Like, let's do this again in 5 years and have this conversation. You tell me these kids who are like 12 and 13 now, if they're any better at answering emails
and
checking their shit, or do you just forget? Because, like, they're literally growing up with that now. Like today, the 8-year-olds have to log on and figure out what their homework is every day. Sure. Because that's how it's getting assigned.
Sure. But, I mean, that doesn't mean that they're learning the etiquette, right?
Oh, but we didn't have to do that. That's what I'm saying. Like, we had a literally a manila folder with all of our assignments in it for the week.
Right.
Stapled and tied to our neck. And
that's not even just solely pandemic related. Like, kids these days are way more
technologically
advanced than we were as kids. Their kids get self kids play with you see go to like a restaurant before the pandemic.
Well, the schools give them like iPads and laptops and shit now in elementary school.
But I'm saying like you see like 2-year-olds holding like an iPad watching YouTube videos.
Sure.
I mean, our nephew, like, he'll pull up and watch like YouTube videos and stuff, and
he
plays on phones
because they grew up with it. All we grew up like when we were born, YouTube wasn't a thing. Like, we were there for YouTube. We were there for, like, a lot of, like, the rise and fall of MySpace and shit like that, Lord. Where they...
That's when Chloe and I first started talking, was on MySpace. Ooh.
That's how Jimmy and I met!
Oh, we had some, like, no, because we were talking on Facebook. We met on MySpace, totally MySpace because you realized my top 8 was a lot of people you knew.
Yeah. But then
we talked on Facebook, and it was very cringy.
Oh, God. Yeah, I messaged you at some point and was like, oh, my God, I haven't messaged you since 2008.
Yeah, like we talked about that Halloween party where Chloe tried to secret invite everyone. That's when me and her like really started messaging each other and then realized like, the last time we talked on here was like 2007.
Oh, so bad.
And then we looked at our conversation and it was, it was very cringy.
It was very 2007.
I mean, I've done that. I've looked back on some things and...
Because when did I come out there? Like, that was...
New Jersey?
2015,
yeah. Because before that, it was October of 2008. Because I'm looking at it right now.
That would have been right after we moved out there. So, yeah, 15.
Oh, sorry. July 11th, 2000. I keep saying 20 because of the years now. 2008, she goes... Guess what? I say chicken butt. She goes, haha, no, silly. I got my permit with like 4 T's.
Oh, God. We're gonna cut that.
Cute.
Oh, that was the other thing she kept saying. She goes, haha, oh, whatever.
Oh, God. So early 2000s.
But anyway, so education system. But yeah, kids today are like, technology is just all around. It's like second nature for them. So it's a lot easier for, but still, like you said, kids that are like 7, 8 years old learning how to use Zoom the same way like boomers are learning how to use Zoom for the first time. So they're like on the same level of trying to figure out the technology.
Some of that there is, I mean, so there's still the etiquette side of it of like, I still, to every single class that I teach, I'm going to give my absolute favorite email assignment. Where I tell them, I give them like articles, like blog posts or whatever to read about like how to write a professional email to your professors. And then I have them write it, like do the opposite, like go write a terrible email based on this advice. And they're really phenomenal emails. But the thing is, like, these really like phenomenal, awful emails that are pretend that they write me are not that far off from actual emails that I get. And I like constantly have to teach my students how to write a basic email. So, like, they're still not getting the etiquette.
How many of them couldn't even listen, like, to your name?
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, learn how to address you properly.
Oh, my gosh. That drives me insane now. I, like, spend this whole big thing at the beginning of class, first day, and was like, all right, go with me for a second, close your eyes, and picture a mathematician. I'm like, are you picturing a young chick with purple hair? I'm gonna guess you're not. And that's why I go by doctor. Like, that's why I go by my doctor title. But, like, I still want you to call me Chloe. And I made this, like, it was, like, a whole thing on the first day. And, like, the number of students that still email me Mrs. Wersiniak drives me up the wall. And I get so mad. And I correct them every time. And there's a few that still do it. And it drives me insane.
Did you put it on the syllabus, though?
It's on the syllabus. It's on the homepage when they log in to the course. Yeah. I sign all of my emails that way. I have this huge, like, bright blue signature that has my name the way I want it.
Okay, on the topic of email etiquette then, what is your take on, what's the word, the sign-off part? What's the word for, like, saying, like regards, the signature, yeah.
Oh.
Like, what... because I'm assuming, like, if you got, like, 18-year-olds that aren't used to doing this, say, like, sincerely or shit, like, just, are there weird ones you get or people just don't know how to use that or how to do that properly?
If they put a subject and their name, it's a win. Like, that's the bar I'm working with here. Most of them won't even, like, sign their name at all. I usually just say best. If I'm asking for something, I'll say thank you.
I feel
you.
Like that's like the most like teacher, professor, instructor thing to do. Because it's the most like neutral.
Yeah.
Say like warm regards.
Yeah, it's too formal.
Too formal and then too like too like love letter sounding. Like,
yeah.
Sincerely always sounds awful.
Yeah, that's too formal.
Sincerely is very formal.
Yeah.
Like, it's, what do they call it? It's the... it's like the closer, the complimentary closer. Because the salutation is the beginning. So like dear or whatever is the salutation.
Do you ever get it's a complimentary dear
close.
Dr. Chloe?
I mean, there are some students who still go
it's acceptable,
more though. Formal than I. Like they'll say, dear Professor Wersiniak, dear Dr. Wersiniak. And those I'm less annoyed about. And I'll like gently remind them like it's. I'm totally cool if you call me Dr. Chloe. This is what I prefer, but like no big deal. But yeah, a lot of them will say dear Dr. Chloe or dear professor or whatever. And that's, I usually go with hi.
I usually do a hi or a...
just say salutations.
Very rarely a hello. But sometimes, like once I've been talking to someone for a while, I always let them take the first step into informality. Mm-hmm. So like I'll keep it like, hi, so-and-so, and then sign off with like best or thanks, mm-hmm. yeah. and then my name until... they just like send something back without a salutation. Or they're like, great, see you at 5. Like then I started emailing back like, cool, here's the documents. Like it's
I had that with my getting my shit together for my new lease. Mm-hmm. The guy he started it and it's just replies in the same email chain rather than mm-hmm. filling out a new email.
Yep.
If I'm starting a brand new email, I will do the header, the salutation, mm-hmm. all that. But like if mm-hmm. I'm just replying to what he told me, and his has to be professional because he's doing it through the office. But like I'll skip the salutation and just continue or ask the question I need, but then put like thanks, Jim Rokaski.
Yeah.
If you go back and forth more than like 3 times, you don't need to keep putting salutations.
Agreed. All right, Chloe, what else is messed up in our school system?
How deep do you want to get?
Besides not teaching kids how to, not having enough money to teach kids how to sign emails.
I mean, yeah. How deep do you want to get? Like racism deep? Like,
yes. Let's go for it.
Okay. Do you know what redlining is?
Let's pretend we don't.
Our listener probably doesn't.
Okay. I'm not an expert, but the basic idea is that like there used to be these like maps and you can look up these maps. And I was actually looking for the South Bend one earlier and it exists on the internet. I couldn't get it in enough detail to actually get any information, but there are these maps that are like the banks would say, okay, these are the good neighborhoods. And so we're only going to give loans to white people in those neighborhoods.
Based on demographic data.
Yes.
Here's where the white people live.
Sort of. My understanding is that it's like a self-fulfilling cycle kind of a thing. Like they were like, these are the desired areas. And so we are only going to give mortgages to people in those areas.
Gotcha. Okay.
And it sort of created its own systems. This is basically how the suburbs were created and why the suburbs are so white today. So then the red colored parts of the map were where people of color could actually get housing. And they were, you know, very rundown areas. There was very much not money put into those by the government.
Yes.
Okay. So that was a thing for a long time. Technically, it's illegal today to discriminate based on like giving mortgages and who you sell to and who you rent to and all that good stuff. But like you look at those maps and you overlay the demographics today and they're very much still aligned. So like, you know, it's still a thing. It still has effects. Why does that intersect with education? Well, first of all, if you've never heard of redlining, that's a problem with our education system because that's a huge part of our history. It's still the same areas that are heavily people of color. And it's still the same areas that are not invested in by the government systems.
Yeah, literally my old neighborhood is just completely red.
Do you know how our education is funded based on our taxes?
In most areas.
In most of the United States, yes.
Isn't it property tax? The basic
formula. It's property tax. So you get all the people that you're not giving good jobs to because of the color of their skin. And then you shove them all in the same neighborhood because of the color of their skin. And then you fund the schools in that neighborhood based on their property taxes. And so their schools don't have any money because there's no income because they couldn't get jobs because racism.
Which then means their kids can't get jobs. So they went to shitty schools because they didn't have any money.
Right. The whole like pull yourself up from the bootstraps bullshit is like our boots are on their neck. Like, yeah, go get an education in the shitty education system that we have forced on you. Like, it's bullshit.
Pretty much like how it's maybe not as, well, in South Bend, it's not as graphic as like Freedom Riders or Hollywood movies talking about that, but it's kind of in that situation where you're setting kids up to fail and then getting mad at them for failing. It's like, oh, it's their fault. It's like they should have persevered. It's like it's not a fucking like it's all about like the whole thing talking about white privilege and stuff, like having a head start is like in just that basic sense. You got a head start with being able to get an education. Even if it wasn't a great education, it's still better than a lot of what other people are getting. Because that's what happened in South Bend with Plan Z, where they changed all the middle schools from 7th to 8th grade to 5th through 8th grade. And all the elementaries were now kindergarten through 4th. And they ended up, I'm assuming, what was once redlining. Because over in Broadmoor was like just about middle class. It was like slightly under middle. Like
they definitely redrew all the map lines.
So there were so many different, because on that side of town it was literally you went to like a handful of elementary schools and then everybody went to Jackson for middle school. But now we have a new middle
school. It was essentially a reverse funnel.
Yeah. So now we have another middle school in the same technical district. Like you said, they just cookie cuttered every neighborhood and buses just went to random ones. And now we have kids from the east side of town, kids from the north side, kids from the south side, kids from the west side, upper class, lower class, middle class. And so there was a lot of clashing.
So what they did a few years after that though, when that still wasn't working out. And I think there was actually a couple of lawsuits. Mm. Don't hold me to that. But I believe there were some lawsuits based on that, that were like, nope, these are still very discriminatory maps based on where these lines are and who's going to these schools. They have open enrollment now where you can just pick a school in the community and just go to it, which really fucked over some schools in some bad neighborhoods. Yeah. But the one thing they did was in the worst neighborhoods, that's where they put the best schools. That's where they put the academies. They literally dropped them in the middle, like across the street from literal drug houses.
Oh yeah, and crack dens. I used to have to deliver there.
And like the primary and intermediate academies are in the absolute worst neighborhoods. And then as they expanded on that, like through the later years, they had other magnet programs. They had the Fine Arts Academy. Mm-hmm. They had all these other schools that started coming up. They put them in the underperforming schools. The ones that were still in the like not great parts of town or the undesirable parts. Even if it wasn't a bad neighborhood, but like
the neighborhood by the airport right. that doesn't have a lot of people who yeah, live there. Right. So, okay, what did they do? They popped the Fine Arts Academy over there. So, they, and that's where they, I mean, it was really interesting how they split it up to try and combat some of those things. And it just didn't work because they're literally this year, they're back to the drawing board and redrawing all the map lines. Plus they closed down two schools this year.
But you look at the system, like when we were younger, our superintendent was a complete moron. And like, she got like two DUIs within a week. And then eventually, and then
I mean, I feel like that's a personal
issue. Well, I mean, she was a moron anyway, but then she got two DUIs in a week and then stepped down. And then stuff started like getting a little better. But then they kind of capped on that. And then I was going to say after like the 2 years after we graduated, I think, or a year after the state took over South Bend Public Schools.
I don't know if it took over all of them or did just some of them.
At least some of them. I know Riley got taken over.
Wait, it did?
I don't think they're all taken.
Because test scores were so low. Like our grade was one of the, what year did you graduate, Chloe? 2011,
yeah.
So 2009 was like the tipping point of like once we got out of there and then the next group came in, we were like skewing the numbers for the test scores.
Right.
Because then in 2010, 2011, you guys were helping too, but like then you guys were carrying the test scores. So then everything below you was like dragging. So you were the outliers completely.
Let's talk about that. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. How fucked up are standardized tests?
Oh, so fucked up. So fucked up. So actually, I'm really proud. Shout out to UK, the University of Kentucky.
Not the United Kingdom. Well, I mean, shout out to them. Their education system is a lot better than ours.
I have no idea. True. I have no information about that. One of the things that we're realizing, so you also have to take a standardized test to get into graduate school. It's called the GRE. And there's just, I mean, the agency that does the test, their own research shows how biased it is. And yet they're still like, yeah, you need to take our test to like get into grad school. And we're like, but your own data says how biased it is. And so the University of Kentucky, at least the math department, got rid of that requirement this year. We're like, nope, not requiring that test.
Okay, and then, so real quick, just to talk about our public school system again. When you said GRE, my brain immediately went to like, oh, what's that an acronym for? And it went generalized written exam. I was like, written starts with a W though. I blame the public school system. But go on.
Pick up on that. I think it stands for graduate record exam. I think I'm not entirely sure. I mean, do you know what the SAT and the ACT written. Stand for? That's fair.
Standard acuity test. I don't know. Something like
that. Anyway, they're super problematic. They also have basically absolutely no predictive ability for actual important things for getting a PhD. So,
I was not close on SAT, by the way. It's Scholastic Assessment.
What about ACT? What's ACT? ACT is the norm down here. So where we went to school, like in Indiana, SAT was the norm.
ACT is the American College Test.
Yeah, ACT is the norm down here. And so that was the other thing is like, so most Kentucky kids take the ACT to get to college. And so then for a long time, we've been using the ACT as our placement and like, based on what you get, you score on your ACT math, that's how we determine which math class you can start in. And we're figuring out that like, that's also very biased and has lots of problems. And then if you place in a lower grade, you have to take more semesters of math to even be able to take your basic major courses, and you're stuck a year behind just because of this test. And so we're working on better ways to place students in more appropriate courses.
Hey, I'm not going to complain because my SAT scores are the reason I went to college.
Oh, my GRE scores are the reason I got into Rutgers, for sure. I benefited from this problem.
It's the only reason. I literally got money because of my SAT scores. It's the only reason.
Well, yeah,
I went to Chicago to
go to state school. Private school.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I got to a state got to school go there. Because I applied. They didn't even look at my, they're like, oh, you live in the state? You got funding? Yeah, come on. But yeah, my SATs, I didn't even take the ACTs because I was like, I don't.
Yeah.
No one.
I'm not going to an Ivy League.
No. No one. No one in Indiana tends to. I feel like.
You can. Mm-hmm. It's just not.
Why would you?
Well, because is guys like our valedictorian and stuff that just wanted to prove there. The guy that got like 2210 on the SAT.
That was nothing.
What? What'd you get?
That's nothing.
What'd you get on the SATs? Because I remember my SAT scores. But we talked about this last week with my selective photographic memory.
I actually don't remember what mine was.
You want to know mine? Because granted,
yes.
Back in the day, it was out of 1,700. Now it's out of 24.
It was out of 24, and we took it. It's back down to 1,600 now.
Yeah.
It bumped up for a few years because we had that weird essay thing in ours.
Did they get rid of the essay again?
Yes. It's back down to the original, whatever it was, 1,600.
Most of the schools only looked at the math and the English anyway. Yeah. They took it out of 1600 anyway.
But the first time I took it, I got 1390, which based out of 16 sounds good. Not when it's out of 24, though. But I got like the fee waived because I was one of the poorer kids. So I didn't have to pay $50 to take it. Which, again, is a crock also of shit. Bullshit. Something you need to take to get into college. Like, you have to pay to do this. Most people got it waived.
So in Indiana, they have a 21st Century Scholar program, which is like if your family's poor, you get money to go to college, to a state school in Indiana. Mm-hmm. And if you were a 21st Century Scholar, you got your fees waived for testing. So mine was also waived. And then I went out of state to a private school. Yeah. So I didn't get any of that money.
And then went back in state to a private school.
And then, we talked about all this. Anyway.
One thing I forgot to mention in that episode is I was going to make the joke, the reason you left the private school is because your roommate was a ranked Yu-Gi-Oh! Player.
He was. Nationally ranked Yu-Gi-Oh! Player.
It's impressive.
I don't even know how to.
He couldn't handle his swag. You're like, I can't stay here. You ever look him up, see what he's doing nowadays?
I remember his name. I do remember. I was trying to think of his name. And I just remembered it as you asked me that. Be like, hey, Joe, what's up?
Real quick, back to SAT scores. I retook it. First time I got a 1390. So I was like, oh, I'm going to buckle down. I'm going to take it again. I got a 1470.
I mean, it's better.
I mean, I got 80 points better. It's still shit.
I'm pretty sure I had a 2150. And then my parents are like, oh, you want to take it again? Because like we had a discount if we wanted to retake it or something. They're like, do you want to take it?
It was still waived if you retook it.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's what it was. They're like, oh, you can take it again. I was like, why the hell would I take it again?
Oh, if you take it again, you get a lower score.
Yeah.
I was going to take it. I took the SATs hungover. I still got a 2150.
Oh, Jesus.
That was my problem. I was square in high school. I didn't drink yet.
I was out drinking the night before.
That's not great.
Don't drink underage, kids.
Don't do it. Yeah, don't. We tell this to people every time. That's why there's a content advisory on our podcast.
There you go.
It's also just don't the vulgarity. Like, it's bad language.
You're awful. Cool. You got anything else? Are you tired of us being drunk and you want to wrap it up? We can always bring you back to complain about more things.
Oh, I was just trying to see if I can find my SAT scores because I don't remember what they were. But
God, I wouldn't even know how to start to try and find those.
I have my old transcript and I was hoping they were on there, but they are not.
Anyway.
You mentioned us being drunk and then Riley said that I got a message on Instagram from Ian that says, Jimmy, old buckaroo, old chap, I am under the influence of marijuana. I don't know why he messaged me on Instagram. Oh, I took him down a rabbit hole of like, he sent me like a frog emoji because he got high and sent all his friends frog emojis. So when he opened his phone, it just all showed frogs. He explained that later, but he sent it to me initially. And then I just started sending like cryptic messages back. I don't know why, but it just made me laugh. And then he got worried because he was really high. But he sent it and I just go, okay, it's in motion, it can't be undone. Oh no, Jimmy, I'm too high for this. I was like, you reap what you sow, little lamb. It's like threatening poetry. You've found the masculine coded equivalent to sass. I was like, his will be done, such is life for a chaotic neutral. He started mentioning something else, but then He's like, I apologize. I was like, things will be as they should in due time. And then like an hour later, I was like, it's coming. Or no, it was the next morning. He said, it's coming. It's done. He's like, should I seek shelter? I was like, the opposite. And so I went on Instagram. I was like, what's the most pedantic thing I could send him that he'll still use? And I got on like, on Amazon and the Amazon Fresh Market. And I just sent him a 2 liter of Dr. Pepper. So he's like worried. He's like, what's happening? Like, what is Jimmy doing? And he opens his door. There's just a 2 liter of Dr. Pepper. And it's one of those things like, you see that for outside looking. It's like, well, you put a lot of thought into that. I was like, not even close. Like, that was just, he sent me a frog emoji and I just started messaging him. I didn't put any thought. The only thought I put into was whether I send him a 2 liter or like a case of diet. But then I looked up, it just said diet for like the 12 pack. And I clicked it to see if they had a regular, and the flavors were diet, cola, and pepper. And I didn't know which to choose. So I just like, let's find something else. But yeah, we talked a lot about education, about how this education system shit offer no solutions.
Got the tip. We'll do more.
Well, yeah.
At a later date.
We don't have enough podcast space to cover everything.
For sure.
So with that, thanks, Chloe, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I was going to say we'll join you again next time we're drunk. But... we'll have you join us again sometime soon.
Okay.
And this has been wasted. Oh, okay. She's in trouble. Now
she's messing it up.
This has been Wasted Information. I'm Jimmy.
Brandon.
I'm Dr. Chloe.
God, this is going to be a nightmare to edit. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard and want to keep up with the show, make sure to subscribe on Spotify, Google, iTunes, or wherever you go to for podcasts. You can also follow us on Instagram at WastedInfo or email us at WastedInfoPod@gmail.com. Until next time, this has been Wasted Information.